Amen. Thank you for that. We're glad to see everybody here this morning, and I hope and pray that you are prepared to see the King, because he's always there, ready for us to see him. I'm glad to have everybody here this morning. Hope that everybody's had a good week. In the way of announcements, as you know, that Sunday will be Easter, so we will have our sunrise service at 7, followed by breakfast at 7:30. Then we'll have Sunday school at 8:30, and our worship service will be at 9:30, and then there'll be no evening service next Sunday. So set your clocks and get ready. We're going to get up early, and we're going to come out and watch the sun come up and praise God. The Sunday after that, we'll have our quarterly church conference meeting. As you go out today, there'll be minutes in the back for you to pick up so that you'll know what we're going to discuss during our business meeting. As far as birthdays, on the 15th, Lexi has a birthday, so we want to tell her happy birthday. And then on the 16th, Laverne has her birthday, so we celebrate a young girl and a younger girl. Yeah.
Hey, so you want to go sing happy birthday to her?
Me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know how.
Let's sing happy birthday to Laverne.
Make him do it by himself.
No.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Laverne. Happy birthday to you and many more. And Lexi, too. Anyway, thank y'all. And join right in. We're going to have a good time. We're going to worship God. This is Palm Sunday. It is the last week that our Savior was alive on earth. And he went through a lot, and we need to remember that. But we just need to be glad that next Sunday is the Sunday that makes it worthwhile. And that was the Sunday that he rose, so that we would have a way back to God. Anything that I forgot? All right, if not, let's take... Oh, yep, I'm sorry. Go ahead. All right. And also, we're still taking up for Annie Armstrong, so remember that also. If we don't have anything else, let's take a moment and go to the Lord. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, God, we come this morning, Lord. First of all, we just thank you. We thank you, God, that you loved us enough that you sent your Son. And Lord, as we get ready to go into this week, Lord, we need to really stop and think about all the things that he had to encounter, all the things that he endured for our sakes, God, not for his, because, Lord, we know he was perfect. He was sinless, and Lord, we know that everything he did willingly. He gave himself willingly for each and every one of us, and Lord, we just need to take and remember that, Lord, and put it in our hearts, God, and Lord, we need to be more dedicated in serving him each and every day when we realize how much he gave up for each and every one of us. Lord, we pray that you would be with our sick. We ask you to heal their bodies, Lord, for those that are going for tests or surgery, God, we just ask you to be with them. Lord, that you would give the doctors and the nurses the wisdom they need, and Lord, that your will would be done in those lives. We pray for those traveling over the holidays, God. We ask you again to always be with them and give them comfort and bring them home safely. And Lord, for those that have lost loved ones this week, God, I pray especially for them. I pray, Lord, that you would hold them close to you, and Lord, that you would just wipe away the tears as they come. And Lord, as we go into this worship service now, I pray, God, that we would just empty our hearts and our minds, and Lord, that we would have but one thing on our heart this morning, and Lord, that's to worship you, that God, we would hear your still voice as it speaks to us, and God, that we would take what we hear this morning and apply it to our lives. Lord, we pray for our community, we pray for our soldiers, our first responders, wherever they are this morning. We ask you, God, to watch over them and protect them, keep them safe, Lord, and thank you for the sacrifices that they make for us each and every day. And Lord, we pray also for our country, we pray for our leaders. God, we pray that we would once again become a nation that worships you, and Lord, that we put you where you need to be. Again, God, we thank you for the day. We thank you for all the blessings that you give to us. And we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 753, Jesus is coming again. This will be our offertory hymn. I ask that you stand, please. We'll sing 1, 2, and 4.
Oh, the blessings that you bestowed upon us. Everything we have comes from you, food and shelter. All our needs are met by you, Lord. And Lord, we can never outgive you. And we ask you to please accept these tithes and offerings to do your will. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. He keeps me singing.
days that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, with the saints of God gathered home, we will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. All our cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we've wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, we will understand it better by and by.
Good morning, and I don't know about you, but I'm glad that day's coming when we will understand, because I know a lot of times we read things and we wonder, and you know, everything in God's Word is there because God wanted it there. Some things he wanted us to know about for sure, and some things he said we'll just learn about when we get to heaven. If you would take your Bibles, we're going to jump. We're not going to go into Corinthians. We're going to go into Matthew chapter 21, because this is Passover week. Today is Passover Sunday and Palm Sunday, I'm sorry. Well, they were going for the Passover, so basically that's what they were there for. But it's Palm Sunday. Thank you for the correction. Matthew chapter 21, we're going to read the first 10 verses. And as we know, this is the week before our Savior is going to be raised from the dead, and he's going through a lot this week. So beginning in Matthew chapter 21 is where we're at. We're going to talk about his entry into Jerusalem. And it's a story I know that we've all probably heard many times. Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, this is what Matthew had to say. It said, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethany, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto the meek, and sitteth upon a donkey, and a colt the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And he was coming to Jerusalem. All the city was moved, saying, Who is he? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. All right, let's talk about this morning. Again, it's Palm Sunday. It's Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and I'm sure we've been heard about it many times and have heard it preached on many times. But what I want to talk about this morning is the people, because we see Jesus. He's coming into Jerusalem. He's riding on a donkey. A donkey was an animal that was not thought of like a horse. A horse was usually a symbol of strength and an army, where a donkey was more the peace and meek and mild type person. You know, he was one of those animals that kind of just is there and does a lot of work, but you don't really pay that much attention to him. Whereas horses, when you see them, you think about how graceful they are and how much they do this and how strong they are in that. But let's talk about this morning, because each and every one of us that is alive today fits into the category of those people that were standing there that morning as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And as we look at the people there, we talk about them for just a little bit, we see a lot of the people today who fit in that same category. This morning as we were going in my office and we were praying, me and the deacons preparing to come out here for our service, we were talking about our country claims to be a Christian nation. I think they said 80-something percent profess to be Christians. Well, I'm sure that day, as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, there were probably 80% or more who were proclaiming him to be the Son of God. They were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were saying he was the Son of David, which we know that David had been promised. God made the promise to David that the Savior would come from his line. So basically what they were saying is, this is the Son of David, this is the prophet, this is the king who was proclaimed to come that's going to set us free. And they had their ideas, just as a lot of people today have theirs. And the majority of them, if you think about it, bless you, just as the majority today, most of them have the wrong impression and the wrong idea. So I want to talk about these groups a little bit, and I group to myself. This isn't biblical, and you can kind of group them any way you want to. But what I looked at when I was reading this, I got to thinking about not only the Sunday that Jesus came in, but also the day of his trial, when that same group of people who had been standing there hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna, were going to be saying, crucify him, crucify him. And what I broke them down to is the first group is that group who thinks that or follow Jesus only because of what they can get from him. And what I got to thinking about is I thought, you know, in this group, there was probably a lot of those people, excuse me, who had been out listening to Jesus preach and had heard the great message. And it came dinner time, and of course, Jesus told his disciples, go out and let's feed them because they're hungry. And his disciples said, well, where we ain't got enough money to feed all these people. There's 5,000 plus people out there. Even if we bought them a sausage biscuit, we can't buy that many biscuits to feed all these people. And not only that, there's nowhere close by to go get it. There's no McDonald's, no Hardee's, no place like that. So we know the story. Jesus took two fishes and five loaves of bread. He blessed them and he gave them to the disciples. He said, go ahead and feed them. They fed the whole 5,000, and they even took up what they had left over, and they had a bunch of baskets for the next couple of days to eat on. And I think part of that group was there that Sunday morning because they were looking at Jesus and seeing only one thing, and that was somebody that could give them what they wanted. Now, I want you to understand something. I believe wholeheartedly, and as a matter of fact, I know wholeheartedly, that God takes care of his own and that God provides for all of us, each and every one of us. If we were to stop and to count our blessings, we could not even begin to figure out where we would end. We would be here for days trying to explain all the goodness that God has given to us and how God has taken care of us. But these people weren't true followers. They were only there because of what he had done that one day. And they expected more and more. And they even tried to follow after him, but they were following after him because they wanted him to keep doing miracles, to keep doing these things so that they wouldn't have to do anything. And I think today in a lot of our churches, and I'm not discrediting any church, but there are a lot of people who are just like that. They come to church, but they only come because they're expecting God to take care of all of their problems. Now, we have to understand that a lot of times we hear preachers stand up and talk about, if you are a child of God, then God's going to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise, that you'll have whatever you want. And I think those people that were of that 5,000 were there with that idea. I want more, I want this, I want that, and God, I want you to give it to me. And the preachers that we hear today, a lot of them say that exact same thing. The more you give, the more God's going to give back. And I believe that. You can't outgive God. We talked about that last Sunday. But we also talked about, why were you giving? What's in your heart? What's your purpose? Why do you serve God? Have you ever stopped and thought about that? We talk about all that God has done for us, and God has. God has blessed each and every one of us more than we could ever imagine. But do we ever stop and think about, what do we give back to God? How do we serve him? Are we like the group of 5,000? The only reason we're following him is because we expect him to do something for us. You know, we sang that song just a minute ago about trials and tribulations and things that go on and how we make the best of plans. And sometimes those plans don't go the way we want them to. And a lot of people would do just like that 5,000 did. Once they found out that he wasn't going to keep giving them the things they wanted the way they wanted it, they kind of just disappeared. And the same is true with a lot of quote-unquote Christians today. They only follow as long as everything is going the way they want it to go, as long as everything is good. But the minute something comes up, the minute there's a little bit of an obstruction, the minute there's a little bit of a problem, they disappear. We don't see them again anymore. Some of them come, and they come to the church, and they ask us to pray for them because they have problems, and there's nothing wrong with that. We do need to do that. But then when the problem goes away, it seems like they no longer feel that they the need to serve God anymore or to be committed to God anymore. They say, well, I'll go back and do the things I want to do until I have another problem. And when I have another problem, then I'll run back and proclaim Jesus is Lord and Jesus is going to help. Those are not the kind of people we need. And unfortunately today in too many of our churches and in our country, period, there are too many people who are just like that. They only serve God as long as everything is going good. And I will promise you right now, standing behind this pulpit, that nothing is ever going to go exactly the way you want it through life. You are going to run into problems. You're going to run into trials. You're going to run into temptations. You're going to run into opposition. The question is, what are you going to do when it comes? Because it's coming. You can get ready for it. I don't think there's anybody in here who is a born-again believer who honestly believes that they're never going to have a problem in life, that God's going to take care of everything. God does take care of everything, but God takes care of everything in his way, not ours. And we need to understand that, and we need to remain faithful, and we need to remain true, because one day we're going to understand. One day we'll understand completely why things went the way they went. You know, a lot of times me and my wife will get in discussions, and she will ask me questions and things about why God does this and why God does that, and you know, and I say, well, I don't know. She said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask. Well, no, you're not going to have to ask, Because when you get to heaven, guess what? You're going to know. There's not going to be any doubt. There's not going to be any question. There's not going to be any opinion. You're going to step into heaven. You're going to see Jesus Christ. And I hope you hear the words, enter in and not depart from me. And the minute you do, you're going to understand why things were written in God's word the way they were written. Why God used the people that God used in order to accomplish what God wanted. And I know when we look at God's word and we see the people that God used, they weren't great people. They weren't famous people. They were just everyday people. They were people who were young, as David, right? People who were young and who we would have looked down at and thought, well, they're too young for that. He used Mary, the mother of Christ, who most of us would have not chosen. He used a stable in order to bring his son into the world instead of a palace. His son went through life with no real possessions because it said he did not even have a place to lay his head. But God has his way of doing things. God doesn't ask us to understand. God just tells us, trust me and take my hand. I will get you where I want you if you'll just trust and obey. But too many times, like these people who were standing beside of the road, as long as we see him as the victor, as long as we see him as doing what we want, we'll serve him. You think about it. Here's Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, being hailed by all the people there as being this son of David, the promised Messiah. And yet, he knew exactly what was in their hearts. He knew which ones of them were there just for the show. And a lot of people that come to churches today, especially a lot of our bigger churches, which do a lot of entertaining to get people to come. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing with singing, there's nothing with entertainment. But when we come to church, we should come to church to hear the word of God preached, not to be entertained. If the word of God does not entertain you, if the word of God does not excite you, if the word of God does not bring comfort to you, if the word of God does not make you want to serve him because of what he's done for you, then you come to church for the wrong reasons. If you're coming to church because there's a great band or there's a big music program or whatever, there's great things for you to do every night of every day. And there's nothing wrong with fellowship, and there's nothing wrong with us doing things. But why are you coming to church? Are you coming to worship? Are you coming to hear the word of God? Are you coming to let the Spirit of God convict you of the things that you need? Or are you just there for the show? And I think a lot of those people that were there that day were there just for the show. So let's look at the second group. The second group of people I think that were there were those people who called themselves Christians, right? The religious group. They were there. They were seeing their Savior come in. They were hailing him as the king. They were giving him all these accolades. But yet when he said, go and give all you have to the poor and follow me, they said, wait a minute, you're asking too much. Some of those that were there were saying, I know that I'm going to serve God because God's blessed me. God's going to take care of me. God's going to give me everything I want. And if he don't, well, then I can always walk away. Are you not glad that Christ decided not to walk away? That Christ decided that no matter what, he would go all the way. You know, we sing that song sometimes, I'll go all the way. I'll go all the way with him. Are you willing to go all the way? This religious group were there talking about how they were going to serve and how they were dedicated and how they were committed and how they were going to go all the way. And I want you to understand something, that it's not easy to go all the way. I'll be the first to admit. Me and my wife were talking the other day about some things, and we happened to talk about sacrificing and giving our lives and, you know, those people who are willing to give everything to serve God. And it's easy to sit here in our churches, in our comfortable homes, and say, I'll serve God and I'll go all the way. But are you willing to go all the way? You think about it. Are you willing to sit there and watch your family be murdered for Christ? Would you stand and say, I'm a Christian? Would you be willing to see the things that the world is going to do, or that the world is fixing to do to our Lord and Savior, and then say, I'll go all the way, knowing that all the way means death, not only death, but a horrible death. The beating that he took, the fact that they nailed him to a cross, the fact that he even had to carry his own cross all the way to Calvary, except for the time that they gave it to somebody else to help with the load. Because he was so weak from being beaten and loss of blood that he just physically could not go. But yet he got up and he kept going. Because God asked us to follow him all the way. Again, we don't understand why things happen the way they happen. We don't understand why God does things the way God does them. But remember this. Where were you when he created the world? Where were you when he created this earth? Where were you when he did all the splendid things that we see in nature? He didn't ask your opinion then. Why do we think we can give him our opinion now and that he's going to change his mind because we don't like the way he's doing something? On Wednesday night, if you don't come, you miss a good time because we have a lot of discussions as we go through God's word to learn more about him. And a lot of times we get to a point where it just goes, as my deacon here is famous to remind me, it ain't up to us. We got no say-so. God's got the say-so. Our job is just to obey. And again, sometimes that's hard. Now, I know what you're going to say, well, preacher, it ain't that hard. Well, you stop and think about this. At the Last Supper, there were 12 men at that table with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They were 12 men who he called, all right? They were men that he chose. And if you go back and read the Gospels, it'll tell you how he called each one of them. And each one of them answered. Each one of them made a commitment. And for 3 years, each one of them walked with him. But yet on that night, when he stood there with all of his followers, his 12 devoted followers, he said this, one of you tonight is going to betray me. One of you 12 who have walked with me, who have seen the miracles, who have seen all the things that I've done and heard all the promises that I've made about how you can get back to God and how you're going to live in heaven and how you're going to have a perfect place to go and no more problems. Those 12, when he said, one of you is going to betray me, every one of them was wondering, is it me? Now you think about that. You think about it. Here were 12 men that saw everything. Here were 12 men that walked with Christ for 3 years. And yet they were wondering which one was going to betray. We know it was Judas. Judas, who sold the Son of God to the religious leaders for 30 pieces of silver, which was the price of a common slave. That's how much the Lord Christ meant to him. Because you see, Judas thought that God or Christ was going to bring the kingdom right then. Judas was a treasure. Judas's heart was after one thing and one thing only, and that was money. And unfortunately, a lot of people who stand behind pulpits today and a lot of people who call themselves preachers, that's all they're after. is money. God did not ride around in expensive chariots. God did not wear expensive clothing. God did not wear expensive jewelry. You know, the difference between a Rolex and a Timex is the cost, because they both do the same thing. They both tell you time. Now, you may say, well, one's more accurate than the other, one's more this than the other, and one's more that than the other, but why do you buy a watch? To tell time. It doesn't matter what it looks like on your wrist. It's there for one purpose, and that's to tell time. If it's there for show, then by God, spend all the money you want, because there's a lot of things out there you could buy. But these 12 men who had gone through everything up to this point, one of them did not think enough about our Savior than to sell him just as you would sell a common slave. And then let's look at the other 10, because you see, after Judas left, the other 10 were there talking about, oh, we're going to be faithful, Lord. We're going to stand with you. And then they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus said, I'm going to pray. Y'all stay here and pray with me. And he came back, and what did he do? They were asleep. So he woke them up and he said, look, can you not just bear with me these few hours? Can you not just be faithful and committed to me for these 3 hours and pray with me? As he went back and asked the Father, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But if not, I'm going to do your will, God. Now, you know, we say that and we don't know what tomorrow brings, but Jesus Christ knew exactly what the next few days were going to bring. He knew the shame. He knew the pain. He knew the sorrow. He knew the death that he was fixing to face. And yet he was willing to say, I'll do your will, God. When the guards came to take Jesus Christ, Peter, good old bold Peter, did what? Drew his sword and cut off the ear of one of the servants. Christ put the ear back on the man and told Peter to put his sword up. Peter, who had just said, I'll die with you, after the Lord told him to put his sword up and Peter realized that he was out there on his own, even Peter slunk away like the other nine did, eight did. There was one who was faithful, John. John went with Jesus all the way into the court, was there as he was being tried. Peter was Peter. Peter tried to sneak in. There's a lot of people out there who try to sneak in, who think they're going to sneak into heaven. But yet when Peter was asked, are you not a disciple of his? Your voice gives you away. Your language gives you away. Your accent gives you away. We know you're one of his disciples because we saw you with him. Three times Peter said, I don't know who that man is. Christ had already told Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me tonight. You sit here and talk about how bold you are and about how great you are and about how much you're going to serve me and how you're going to die for me. But Peter, guess what? When the chips are down, you're going to throw the towel. And that's exactly what he did. Because it took that to show Peter exactly what it meant to sacrifice everything to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It says Peter left and wept bitterly, but Peter repented. And from that day forward, Peter understood what it meant to give all for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was martyred for that faith. Today, each and every one of us is one of those people standing there. We don't know what God is going to ask of us today. We don't know what God is going to ask of us tomorrow. All we need to know is that God is going to take care of us and get us through whatever it is. If it means death, guess what? Paul said, If I live, I'm going to serve God. If I die, I've won because I'm going straight to heaven. And if you're a born-again believer, the same hold true for you. If you're not, you need to be. So as we get ready to go into this last week that we call the Holy Week, and I think we got Ash Wednesday's coming up where everybody puts the ash cross on their forehead to show people how much they love God. Be careful about how you say you're committed to God, because one day you're going to have to prove it. One day you're going to have to prove it. I hope and pray it's not like some, that you'll be martyred. Today when people ask you if you're a Christian, we're afraid to say yes because we're afraid of what persecution may come. The Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. The Bible also says there's nothing that man can do to you that we need to fear God more than man. Today we fear things that we have no control over. You have no control over death. You can be the most healthy person. You can do everything the way the doctor says, and you can still die tomorrow. God asks us to be faithful. We need to be like those few who were there that day who truly believed that he was the Messiah, who truly were willing to serve him, and who went with him to the very end. Because that's what God's looking for. He's looking for those who will go with him to the very end. I hope and pray that you're one of those. Let's close. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, as we look into our hearts, God, I pray that right now we would each examine ourselves, that we would look deep within, Lord, and that, God, we would be truthful with ourselves and with you as to where we stand. Lord, if there's one here today who truthfully knows they're not saved, I don't care how long they've been coming to church. I don't care if they've come to church their whole life. But God, if they examine their hearts deep down and know that they're not truly a believer, I pray today would be the day that they would come forward, that they would give their life to you, that they would turn their heart over and give it to you completely. And Lord, for those of us who say we are Christian, I ask us to examine ourselves. I ask us to look deep within and ask us, why are we serving you? Are we doing everything you want us to do? Are we being the servant, God, that we need to be for you? Or, Lord, is there something that's hindering us, something that's holding us back? If there is, I pray today, God, would be the day that we would give it to you and say, Lord, I give my all. I surrender all to live for you. Lord, all you ask is that we love you and that we serve you. You give us so much, more than we could ever even begin to count. So God, let us give back to you. Let us give all that we have, because that's all that you ask. I thank you for this day. I thank you for everybody that's here today, and pray, God, that you would continue to help and take care of everything that's going on in our lives. God, I ask a special prayer for those that are not here today, for whatever reason. You know what's going on in every life. You know what every problem is, what every heartache is. God, you know if it's indifference. Whatever the problem is, God, I pray that today you would take care of it. I thank you again, Lord, for your son, Jesus Christ, who willingly rode into Jerusalem that Sunday, knowing, God, that it was going to be just a few days, and he would suffer the worst beating, die the most horrible death imaginable for my sins. Thank you. Thank you that you love me enough to allow him to do that. Go with us now, God, and we ask it in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Won't you stand?